Got your Bibles, turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and also chapter number 4. It's good to be out to God's house. Good to see such a great group here today. I thank God for America. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I was born here. I'm glad for you that have served our country. We honor you. Thank God for you. Appreciate you. You did things that nobody else would do. And we're glad for you today. You know the Word of God. Aren't you glad you got the Bible? Somebody say amen for the Bible. It's inerrant. It's infallible. Amen. I believe that. By the way, I don't care to tell you this King James Bible is a preserved Word of God. God left us a book. God gave us a manual. God has a guideline for us. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of word pictures in the Word of God. Somebody say amen. About the Christian life, such as the Bible talks about us being in a race. Let us run the race with patience that is set before us. We are in a race. The Bible talks about the Christian as being salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. Hey, by the way, friend, you want to know why our country is deteriorating one step at a time? A lot of people that's born again, that's ought to be living close for God, ought to be holding the mantle for God. The salt has lost its savior, and we can see that because of the corruption that's hitting our country. Also, the Bible depicts a Christian as the light. Hey, we're the light of the world. If the world's going to hear the gospel, it's because of the Christian. It's because we let our light shine. But one of Paul's favorite illustrations and pictures of the Christian life is that of a soldier. And I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then chapter 4, and I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Are You a Soldier of the Cross? Are you a soldier of the cross? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, are you there? Say amen. Won't you stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God? Let's do that. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3 and 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Go over to chapter 4 with me, please. And verse number 6, Paul was getting ready to be beheaded in Rome. He's getting ready to die a martyr's death. And he penned these words down. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Whoa. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but under the all of them also that loves his appearing. Our Father, on this Veterans Day, as we think about the soldier's life, God help us and help everyone in this room to enlist in your army. And I pray, God, that you would bless us as we get this picture of a soldier and how it depicts us as soldiers in the Lord's race. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. The Apostle Paul was familiar with the soldier. As you know, he was arrested several times. He was put in prison. He saw them. I believe when he was writing and penning many of his letters, he was in prison and looking out and seeing a soldier, how he was dressed, his dignity, his determination, his dedication. He saw their desires. And I believe Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned down several passages in the Word of God to tell you and I, not only are there soldiers, real live soldiers that go out and give their life for their country. But thank God for the soldier of the cross, with those that have come under the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and want to serve God with all their heart and with all their mind and with all their soul. I want to give you five things from this passage of Scripture about a soldier. Number one, in verse number three, would you look at chapter number two and verse number three? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number one, a soldier is a follower. Somebody help me preach. He is a follower. And by the way, if you can't learn to be a follower, you'll never be a leader. Somebody help me pray. I know folks that talk a good game. Oh, they talk, they talk a good game like they're some kind of leader, but they can't follow. You'll never be a leader until you are a follower. A soldier is a follower. When we talk about a soldier, we first of all, it implies a relationship. They enlist. And you say, well, I never enlisted in God's army. Oh, yes, you did. When you got saved by the grace of God, when you got born, the Bible said you must be born again. The Bible said by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want you to know January 31st, 1973, when the Holy Ghost came by and convicted me and I confessed Christ as my Savior and my life was changed and turned around. I was enlisted in God's army. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day. God, it implies a relationship. Also, it implies rank. By the way, the soldier, there's always somebody over him. Come on now. You know what? I see in a lot of Christianity, and a lot of people that says they're a soldier of the Christ, they don't like to have anybody over them. They ain't going to follow much authority. They're always throwing their comrades under the bus. Always finding a way to slur somebody. Let me tell you something. That ain't the way it is with a soldier. They love each other. There's a bond within. Somebody help me preach. There's just a club. They don't leave anybody behind. They don't shoot their own wounded. Ain't like Baptists today. Somebody help me preach. You said, huh? Well, you're the pastor of the church. You're the head of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not the head of anything. He's preeminent. He's Lord. He's the Lamb. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Every one of us are under somebody. We ought to follow God and follow each other. Somebody help me, preach. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'll tell you something else it implies. It implies rule. There's one thing about a soldier. They follow orders. Can I tell you something about the Christian life? Christian life won't be very difficult to you if you learn this one word, obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Hey, by the way, can I tell you, we got three folks going to be baptized today, right? Hey, by the way, at the invitation, you get ready, come on up and be baptized. You know what they're doing? They're following the Lord in believer's baptism. And can I tell you, that's the first step of obedience once you got saved. Somebody help me preach. Then you, by the way, when you say obedient, you're obedient in your baptism. You're obedient once you get saved. You start tithing. Somebody help me preach. You start wanting to be faithful. You start wanting to serve God. You want to find a place in the work. Hey, by the way, if you're going to be a good soldier, you will follow orders. And God don't like traitors. God don't like traitors. You said, how am I a traitor? I'll tell you how you're a traitor. If you speak ill of another Christian, you're a traitor. Amen. If you speak ill of authority, you're a traitor.
Amen.
Good preaching, preacher. I want you to know something. There's just something about a soldier. Just something about them. Brother, I know men and women in this church that served. They're special. There's just something about them. You could see something in them. Hey, for a person to go out and volunteer to give their life for somebody else, that's something about them. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Good preaching, Reverend. Number two, look at verse 2-3 and turn over to chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll hit all three of these passages. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Somebody help me preach. Look at chapter 4, verse number 7. Are you there? The Bible says, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Number two, a soldier is not only follower, but he's faithful. He's faithful, first of all, in his patience. Somebody help me preach right there. He's faithful in his patience. The Bible said he endures hardness. My generation was the Vietnam generation. I didn't go to serve, but I would have served. Brother Edwards back there, he's here somewhere. Him and I have the same birth date. He got to serve. I didn't qualify because of my physically. I was flat-footed and came here. But I was number one in the draft. And there's just something about a soldier and how they endure hardness. And their patience. They just don't quit. In the world you had tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, us Christians, we're not patient with anything. We don't want to, hey, you know what we got? We got a fast food religion today. We don't want to endure no hardness. We don't want to have no trouble. We don't want to go through no pain. We don't want to go through any of that. But look at the soldier. They endured hardness, ladies and gentlemen. The Christian life isn't a bunch of butterflies, ain't a bunch of blues. It's a fight. It's a battle. Chapter 2, verse 4, his priorities. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may, listen, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what the soldier's goal is to please the commander. I remember a time. I got a little discouraged as a pastor. There's a way back after I led my daddy to the Lord. And my dad was a church member at my church. And he saw that I was a little discouraged. My dad wouldn't say nothing to nobody. You know what he done? He got up, Brother Klein, he got up, walked down to the pulpit. I thought, what in God's name? My dad don't say nothing. And I was up there sitting, look, I guess a little pooch mouth. I don't know what it was. He come up to me and he looked at me. He said, I want you to know something. I'd be going to hell if it wasn't for you. And he said, I think you're going through something, John David. And I said, oh, Dad, nothing. He said, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know, well done. When my dad looked at me, Wayne, and said, I'm pleased with you, it meant the world to me. I want to tell you, every one of us is going to stand before God one of these days. And all I want to hear from him, I don't want to hear, oh, you got done this and you done that. All I just want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Hallelujah. Hey, by the way, you know, I ain't asking you to please the preacher or please the deacons or please this and that, but you ought to, if you've been saved by the grace of God and washed by God and sealed by the Holy Ghost, you ought to want to please your commander.
Oh, he's worthy.
He is worthy. Who would die for you like him? Who would be beaten for you like him? Huh? There ain't nobody better to serve than God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! And then his practices. Go back to chapter 4, verse 7. I'm just flipping around here. Look at his practice. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. Listen to this. I have kept the faith. The faith is meaning the whole canon of truth. Amen. Somebody help me.
Yeah.
You know what we all are? You may think just preachers are, but we all guard the truth. Amen. And it ought to bother you when error's preached. You ought to bother you when something's not right is preached. Somebody help me preach. You want motivates a soldier? It is the reality of the truth. They believe the truth is marching on. They believe this country was worth dying for. They believe in the truth. I'll tell you what, we ought not to be reckless with the truth. Hey, man, I'm trying to move on. I've got a little bit more bogged down than I thought I would. Look at chapter 3. The third thought. Number one, he's what? He's a follower. Number two, a soldier is faithful. But I want you to get this. I want you to think about this. Number three, a soldier is familiar. You say, what's he familiar with? What's he familiar with? Well, I'll tell you, first of all, how many of y'all have been boot camp? Raise your hand. Well, let me ask you, Larry, who did you get real familiar with real quick in boot camp? Give me 50. Wayne, I remember when you used to do that all the time. Give me 50. You know what you were familiar with, Larry? You knew his voice. That rascal come around and get that boy started on Larry Curry. You knew him. I want you to know something. every one of you that's saved by the grace of God, let me tell you what you need to be familiar with. You need to be familiar with his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than I, and I and my Father are one. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. I'm not familiar with a lot of things. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I want you to know that day the Holy Ghost came down in me, that day I got saved by the grace of God, that day when the heaven came down and joy filled my soul, I want you to know I'll never forget that day. And I still know his voice. I still hear his voice. Hey, 46 years later, he's still leading me. He's still guiding me. He's still speaking to me. Well, glory. Woo! I tell you what else he's familiar with. He's familiar with the skills of using weapons. See, I can forget the soldier. I won't. I knew a guy. He served in Vietnam, and he had a literal gun that they fought with in Vietnam. I was amazed by him. That guy could take it apart. He could clean it. He knew everything about the mechanisms of it. He knew how to fire it. He was proficient with his weapon of warfare. By the way, they had weapons, and you have weapons. Oh, you're so wild. A Christian don't have weapons. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, notice, you know what I believe Paul was doing? He was looking at a soldier when he wrote this. Here's what he said. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Got to have a girdle. That old robe they had was flowing around. They had to have something to hold it together. And that's the girdle of truth. By the way, the truth is our girdle. And having the breastplate of righteousness, got to have a protection. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Somebody help me preach. And above all, take the shield of faith wherein you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You want to know why so many believers are being succumbed and dying in the battle and quitting and getting away from God? It's because they don't use their weapons. I want all y'all to know something. Every one of those weapons I read to y'all, except one, is a defensive weapon. And by the way, look at this. Tell me if I'm right on this, because I don't want to say something wrong. Stand a minute. Let me ask you a question. Turn around. Was there anything to protect here? Was he? Uh-uh. You go running and quitting, ain't nothing going to protect you. You're going to get shot. Amen. If you get the armor on, amen, the breastplate, ain't not. Somebody help me preach. You know what I see? There's a lot of Christians just not familiar with the Bible, not familiar with the Word of God. We can't win the... How did Jesus overcome temptation? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. And by the way, I'll tell you what else we're familiar with. We're familiar with the strategy of the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He's sneaky. How many agree he's sneaky? Amen. And by the way, tell you something else he was familiar with, Jeff. He was familiar with the shadow of his friend. There was just something about a friend Bible said not to forsake assembling yourselves together as some would. You know, there's something a soldier wouldn't do. They'd die not doing it. They would never leave somebody behind. You know, we're living in a generation of Christianity that really bothers me. We're so selective in our friendships and so selective in our Christianity. And if somebody's not a rich man or somebody you think you can get something out of, you don't want to deal with them. I want to tell you what, red and yellow and black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Every member that goes into this door is important. I don't care if they're wealthy. I don't care if they're poor. It don't matter what their status is. They're important and they ought not to be left behind. Amen. We have somebody wounded. We need to nurse them. We see you have somebody with a burden. We need to care. Somebody help me preach. There's just something about Christianity that's real if we follow God's guidelines.
Amen. You're right. That's good.
Woo. Number four, thank. How many? Number four. I want to give you two last things. I'm done. Go back to chapter four, please. 2 Timothy 4. One more, a couple more things, and I'm done. Number four, he's a fighter. Verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I want y'all to know something. This country is worth fighting for and dying for. But I want you to know the cause that we serve is worth fighting for. You know what I've seen today out of a lot of preachers? They've given up the fight. They just don't fight anymore. That's why every generation has a battle. Let me give you some of our battles. We battle about the Bible. We battle about dispensationalism. By the way, the church doesn't replace Israel. We battle Calvinism. We battle the contemporaries. We battle charismatics. We're in a battle. And we got to fight. A fight means you got to be determined. He just doesn't cut and run. He's driven. The battle. By the way, he said, I kept my course. I talked to a brother the other day, and he's a good brother. And I pray for him every day. He's in a battle. I feel so bad for him. He's in a battle. And he looked at me the other day. He said, I'm tired. How long am I going to have to do what I'm doing? And I said, until Jesus comes. I finished my course. There's a finish line over there, Jeff. I personally, see, if you live to be 70 years old, you've lived 25,000 days. I'm 68 plus, so I'm rounding third. I'm on the way to home plate. There's the finish line. I can't quit. What would the crowd think if I quit? What would my kids think if I quit? What would my wife think if I quit? What would my church think if I quit? I can't quit. I got to finish. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to be driven. And then you got to be dedicated. You got to keep your oath, keep your vow. And then lastly, I'll conclude, just build on that thought. verse 7 and 8, and I'll read them again, and I'm done. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but unto all them which loves his appearing. He's a finisher. He's got a resolve. He's in it for the long haul. He's got a reason. Jesus paid it all. And he's got a reward. I don't know exactly how all that's going to happen. My earthly mind can't comprehend it. But one of these days, you and I are going to have a reward. It may be 30-fold, it may be 70-fold, maybe 100-fold. I don't know. Only the commander knows. But I'm looking forward to that day. Bow your head with me. I'm finished. Those that are getting baptized, come on. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you something. Have you enlisted yet? Have you got saved yet? Do you know Jesus yet? I may right now say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. If you know you're saved, you don't know where. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I don't know for sure I'm saved. But I want to know before I die. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want a cause in my life. And I want you to pray for me. Will you raise your hand? Just slip it up high and say, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I want to be. God bless that hand. Somebody else. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Some of you didn't raise your hand. Listen, God wants you in the fight with him. He died for you. Don't die and go to hell. I wonder how many in this room you are saved. And you know you're in a battle. I wonder how many right now you're in a terrible battle. The devil's tried to get you to quit. But this morning you're encouraged and you want to stand for God. Raise your hand. Just say, pray for me, all the house. I see him. Stand with me. You want to come pray, come and talk to God, you come on right now. Amen. If you need to be saved, come on.
A soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb.
Yes.
Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak?
Yes.
His
Don't quit.
Name.
You're in it for the long haul.
I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease.
Come on, thank you, Lord.
While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, I must fight if I would reign.
Come on.
Increase.
You're here, lost. You ought to come and get saved.
Lord.
Yes.
I'll bear. Toil,
yes.
Endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
Amen.
Bless his name. Are you struggling? Has it been tough at your house? Won't you come? Just come. Sit down. Amen. Amen. Amen.